Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters. Walters.
And the second hour of Armed American Radio's Monster Cast here at the ranch begins right now. Mark Walters in the Carr Firearms Group studios with you. This powerful Sig Sauer microphone popping out on hundreds of radio stations around the nation today. And it's all coming to you from the Patriot Mobile Communications and Command Center here in Georgia. X Insurance presents it all. Welcome into the program. Greg in Dallas, Texas. How are you, my brother from another mother?
Not too bad.
Great hour previously.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, Alan Gottlieb and AWR on fire. I didn't have enough time to get to everything with Alan, but we covered a lot of ground with AWR Hawkins, including one subject that I didn't get a chance to get with Alan. So mission accomplished. Greg, in the essence of time, we've got Dr. Lott for two quick segments. Please tell people where to watch us on high definition, participate in the chat, and I want to go right to John.
Sure, quickly, if you'd like to see the show, head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you can see the menu icons. Just give that a click. And when that window opens up, select that watch live option. If you're driving, hit that listen live link. And if you need to catch up on anything you may have missed, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
And you'll enjoy being in that chat. You'll enjoy watching the program in high definition, too. And you get to hear us in between the breaks, kind of like the old satellite days. Dr. John Lott, welcome in. CrimeResearch.org. John, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us today. So you had a fascinating debate at the University of Wisconsin. I'm going to start by playing just a little bit, just a little clip with the individual, Dr. Levinson, Sanford Levinson, who you debated in Wisconsin. This was fascinating. Ladies and gentlemen, give a listen to this real quick, and then we'll go to John for commentary.
Amendment, all things considered, is a mistake. I think it is. Let me take literally two more minutes. Is that all right? To say why. First of all, if one agrees with John on his critique, you actually don't need the Second Amendment, because almost all of the states in the Union are very protective of guns. Heller was an outlier. The District of Columbia, which of course is not a state, did choose to ban guns. And I actually am willing to defend the Heller decision that said that was unconstitutional. I'm not willing to defend the decision written, the opinion written by Justice Scalia, because from my perspective, it had nothing to do with the Second Amendment and had everything to do with the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment, if one is going to get technical. But the reason this distinction is important is that the Second Amendment is in the Constitution in the first place because of the suspicion that the national government would become tyrannical. And you needed the possibility of an aroused public that could take up arms to overthrow a tyrannical government. It has nothing to do with self-defense against criminals.
All right, I'm going to stop right there, John, because this was just a little taste of where Levinson was coming from. He is a law professor, constitutional professor. He is an admitted leftist. But I'm going to say, from watching this at least a couple of times, I detected that he was an old school liberal. That was just my opinion. But he made some interesting arguments as you two debated, and he actually agreed with you a number of times. Tell us about this debate and why it was important.
Oh, it was nice to do a debate. It's been very difficult to go and get people to go and debate.
Yeah.
Sandy Levinson has been somebody who's been involved in the gun control debate since the late 1980s. He had a very influential paper in the Yale Law Review. And, you know, there are lots of things. I mean, there's so many things that he brought up there to comment on just at the end, saying that the Second Amendment wasn't done to protect individuals against crime and what have you. I mean, even if he believes that, he had to concede in the later discussions that we had that the 14th Amendment, which applied the Bill of Rights to the states, and in specific, was primarily motivated by concerns about gun ownership by blacks in the South. Which, I mean, anybody who reads through the legislative debate in Congress on that knows that that was like the big issue that they were talking about, knows that it was to allow blacks to protect themselves against violence from the Ku Klux Klan, for example, and that southern states have been disarming them. So, I mean, I don't agree that the Second Amendment was only limited to, you know, the militia. If you read Scalia's opinion in the Heller case, he was just saying, look, they weren't going to sketch everything out. This was a major reason they had just gone through having the British try to confiscate guns in Lexington and Concord. But it was pretty clear that people understood that would allow people to protect people in general. There are lots of people living in rural areas and other areas that obviously need to protect themselves. They didn't even really even have police, to be honest, in most of that time. You didn't even have police in New York City until the 1850s. So the only option people had was to go and protect themselves. But even if you agreed with them on that, it was pretty clear, and he conceded that the 14th Amendment made it clear that the people at that time understood it to include self-defense. But, you know, this notion of relying on the states, you know, the irony is Sandy's paper that he had in the Yale Law Review in 89 was titled The Embarrassing Second Amendment, that the fact that the courts had pretty much ignored the Second Amendment in their jurisprudence, not completely, and surely legal scholars tried to completely ignore its existence at that time in particular. But, you know, here you have a situation where, you know, you want to rely on the states. Well, you go look at the state Supreme Courts. State Supreme Courts, even though you have many states that have Second Amendment type rules, I don't know, like 45 states or something, they have Second Amendment type language in their constitution, and many of them much stronger than what you have for the Second Amendment, in the sense that they don't bring up militias or anything like that. They just bring it up solely for self-defense broadly. You know, they haven't been doing it. So the question is, if the states aren't doing this, you know, it's pretty important that we apply the Bill of Rights to the states. And that's what the 14th Amendment did. And one of the interesting things in the discussion was that Sandy was saying, well, you know, you should have different types of gun control laws in New York City versus in Chicago versus Montana or someplace else. And my response was, so you're saying that we should have different interpretations of press freedom? So when Louisiana, back about 100 years ago, imposed a tax on newspapers because the political powers that be in Louisiana didn't like the political leanings of the newspapers in the state, that should be okay? That we shouldn't have some type of First Amendment applying to the states that's there? So I never got a response on that.
John, he seemed to be, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to point out that Dr. Levinson believes we need a new convention of states to redo our Constitution in its entirety. He believes it is outdated, and he made that point very clear. yet he conceded to you the empirical evidence that you showed him at the outset of the debate. And if you would, well, we don't, Greg, how much time again? I'm sorry to ask you that. Okay, John, let me just set the question up with this. When we come back from the break, we'll go there. Ladies and gentlemen, John opened up the debate with clear and concise empirical evidence that showed specifically different cities, when they enacted their gun bans, crime rate had been falling already. After the gun ban was enacted, crime rates continued to rise, and to the last, with the last evidence that we have anyway, have never gone down below where they were prior to the gun bans. And Dr. Levinson conceded that point and then asked you a very interesting question. If, in fact, what John said was true, would John agree with me that we should do this as a big government liberal? And when I come back from the break, I'll explain, and I'm sure we'll get a fascinating answer from Dr. Lott. It was a fascinating debate, and I'll tell you where you can go and watch it, and I would highly recommend that you do. You'll learn something. Believe me, it was fun to watch. We'll be back. One more segment with Dr. John R. Lott. It's not enough time, but we'll get through as much as we can. We'll be right back after the break.
Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Don't forget to use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. Let's go right back to Dr. John Lott here in the Carr Firearms Group studios. We've got limited time with him, and I want to continue with this debate discussion. Dr. Levinson, old school, left-wing liberal, cradle-to-grave liberal, believes the government should be involved in our lives, the whole health care thing. And he made that very clear during the debate. John, you initially opened up the debate with some fantastic empirical evidence that when he rebutted, really couldn't. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he conceded that what you told him and what you told the audience was accurate, with those numbers being accurate. But then he threw a curveball at you, not a curveball maybe, but he asked you, as a, I'm a big liberal guy, and you guys were sitting there talking, and it was going to... you know, audience questions, which I thought were great, too, by the way. It didn't seem like you got attacked by left-wing goofs. That was kind of interesting to see. And in fact, your response to what we're getting ready to talk with you about drew applause from the university audience, which I thought was interesting, because he said, I believe that we should have, like, for example, Obamacare. And if you believe what you believe, would you also concede with me that the government should be supplying guns to those groups that you say, or that your evidence points to, need them the most? Would you agree with that? And your response was, frankly, no more than I agree the government should be in healthcare, which drew a round of applause. But I thought it was an interesting question. Take us down the path he was leading you down.
Right. Well, I mean, it's something I've heard many times before. But look, just to kind of give context, the reason why I was going through the data to begin with was the whole debate was, what is the Second Amendment a mistake or not? And the only way I can do that is by seeing whether it made people safer and whether it accomplished the goals that you'd want it to accomplish. And the way you look at that is you say, okay, well, there have been, in the last 15 years, there have been three major Supreme Court decisions. You've had Heller, McDonald, and Bruin. The Heller McDonald dealt with complete gun bans on handguns. So, well, did the handgun bans make people safer? And the answer is clearly no. As you said, murder rates in Chicago and D.C. were falling relative to other cities prior to their bans going into effect. And then after the bans went into effect, they went up. And in no year that the ban was in effect was the murder rate as low as it was immediately prior to the bans going into effect. And with regard to the Bruin decision, what I was pointing out was how, you know, these were May issue laws that were struck down where civilians who wanted to get a concealed carry permit in those states had to go and provide a good reason to some local public official before they'd be allowed to have a gun for protecting themselves outside the home. And my point was, look at who they give it out to. And I went through the data for Los Angeles County that just said, look, you have a situation where Democrats claim that they care about the poor, that they care about minorities, that they care about women. But the types of people that they give the permits out to when they have to make judgment on whether the person has a good reason are overwhelmingly very wealthy individuals that give large donations to the sheriff's campaign and are primarily white males and to some extent Asian males. You know, is it just that women in Los Angeles County don't face crimes against them like they do in the rest of the country? Nationwide, we have almost 30% of permit holders being women. In Los Angeles County, it's like 7%. Nationwide, we have about 13% of permit holders being black. In Los Angeles County, you have 5%. That's less than half black share of the population in Los Angeles County. And so, you know, the same question for blacks. Are blacks just not victims of violent crime in Los Angeles County? No. I mean, is it good that wealthy, politically connected individuals are able to defend themselves? Sure, I have no problem with that. Like, you know, that's great. But they're not the ones who are the most likely victims of violent crime, and they're not the ones that my research indicates who benefit the most from being able to go and have guns for protection. It's basically two groups. The people who are most likely victims, particularly poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, and people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly, and they're not the ones who are getting the permits. That was one thing. And then, of course, the argument that Sandy was making is that, well, if you think that there's a benefit for certain groups getting it, then we should subsidize it. And my response is, you say, look, you know, just to get technical about it, I can go and tell you the direction of effects. I'm not going to be able to tell you precisely the exact dollar value of the benefit that's there. And if you have a subsidy that's too high, that's just as bad as having a subsidy that's too low. But my response to him was, look, I'll make a compromise response back to you. And that is, let's just get rid of all these taxes and fees and other restrictions that are there. You know, so I gave the example. You look at Illinois. When you add up the training costs, when you add up the fees just for the permits, not including FOID or anything else, you're talking about like $450 cost to get it. Only about 4% of adults in Los Angeles and Illinois have a concealed carry permit. In neighboring Indiana, where the cost literally is zero, you have about 23% of the adult population with permits, and it's much more poor minorities who are getting permits in those areas. And so, you know, let's get rid of these fees and costs. Who do they think they're stopping when it's $450 total cost for doing it? And so, you know, and there are all sorts of other restrictions that they have. You know, not being able to take it on public transportation and what have you. And, you know, it's kind of like they've consciously gone through and tried to put up all these rules that disarm the very people who benefit the most from having the chance to be able to go and protect themselves. And there are other things I went through, like the errors in the NICS background check system that you and I have talked about multiple times. And I said, let's get rid of these impediments that discriminate against the very people who benefit the most. I don't think he was going to take me up on that, but it seemed like that's a halfway measure. But I don't think he didn't concede the numbers. I mean, he may wasn't able to argue with them or whatever, but it just, you know, he was just as a rhetorical thing and said, well, let's assume that you're right here on this. And what would that imply? But I don't even know how he could answer the question that we have without getting into the empirical things. Has the Second Amendment accomplished what we wanted to accomplish? Has it made people safer or not? And at least on the Supreme Court decisions that we can look at so far, I think the answer is overwhelmingly clear what the impact has been. But, you know, like a lot of people on the left, you know, he was just talking about kind of fact. He wasn't really wanting to get into the facts. He was just kind of getting into what he felt would be good.
I felt like he was punching out of his weight class because of your empirical evidence. I felt like he just he couldn't argue, as you mentioned. John, I wish we had more time. We're going to bring you back next week. I can promise you that. Dr. John Lott. Okay. He's out there doing amazing work. Please support John at crimeresearch.org. He's up there doing these debates across the country and around the world on your behalf. Dr. John Lott, thank you. When we come back, Diana Mueller will be here. Don't go away.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
And here we go. Welcome back. Man, buckle in, ladies and gentlemen. These hours are flying right by. Great content, great conversation, a lot of great material. Car Firearms Group Studios lit up for you. Six-hour mic, powerful, powerful, busting out on hundreds of radio stations around the nation. And it's all coming to us from the Patriot Mobile Communication Center, and sponsored and brought to you and presented every single day by X Insurance. Please go out of your way to visit all of our partners. Remember, BarrelBuddy.com, PT Ammo, buy ammo made right here in the United States, Guilford, Connecticut, behind the blue line. That's a great thing. PTAmmo.com, Where Our Families Train, WAFT, that scenario-based training is great stuff. You've heard Philip on the show before. WAFT, WOFT.com, Goat Guns. Have you got your goat guns yet? It's your new hobby, I can tell you that right now. Super addictive. GoatGuns.com. First time purchase, take 10% off using the AAR promo code. ArmsList.com, America's firearms marketplace. Brady's have taken them on three or four times and lost every single time. ArmsList, fighting for your right to bear arms, and also a great proud sponsor of the Second Amendment Foundation. Cutting Edge Firewood, HeavensHarvest.com. All of our great partners can be found at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Let's go back to now Diana Mueller, Women for Gun Rights, and the original founder, if you will, of the D.C. Project, now Women for Gun Rights. Diana, welcome to the program. Great to have you here, as always.
Hey, great to be here. I see you got some Patriot Mobile going.
I got some Patriot Mobile going in the process of making the switch as you and I speak right now. And I know you've been using Patriot Mobile for quite some time. You know, I when I was talking with the folks over there on the show last week, I brought you up as an example because you were shooting a shotgun world match out in Thailand and everybody was coming to your phone because theirs didn't work and your Patriot Mobile service did. That's a true story. Please give me some street cred.
True story. And I support Women for Gun Rights. I'm glad to always give them a plug.
Yeah, I like you, I'm sick and tired of giving my money to woke companies when there's a better alternative out there that's going to use profits that come from my pocket, your pocket, ladies and gentlemen, Diana's pocket, to actually defend our freedoms and our rights. Diana, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's a win-win that you just simply can't walk away from. I'll give you the last word on that, and then we'll talk about some of the cool stuff
totally
you guys are up to.
Totally win-win, and if you use 2A Patriot, you might have a different code now, but if you use 2A Patriot, you're actually putting money into Women for Gun Rights' pocket. So
yeah, see, you can do that. You can use AAR. Ladies and gentlemen, we got you covered. Okay, PatriotMobile.com. Support them. Support us. That's how this works. It is a win-win all the way around. Okay, so you have now at Women for Gun Rights. Let's go ahead and push the website, womenforgunrights.org. And ladies and gentlemen, I am going to give you the website for John Lott's video, too. I haven't forgotten that. I just want to get you to the right site. We're getting clarification on that right now. Some of you might not have Twitter, which I hope you don't. So bear with me. I'll get you that site when I get it from John momentarily. Womenforgunrights.org. Tell us a little bit about the organization, and then we'll get specific about some of the things that you're doing.
Well, we are a nationwide organization of women dedicated to safeguarding the Second Amendment. We believe that education is the key to firearm safety and violence prevention, not legislation. And really what it boils down to is that we are the counter-visual and the counter-voice to Moms Demand Action, a Bloomberg-funded $60 million a year group that uses the female voice to call for more gun control. And we need A, our own Bloomberg, and B, we need all of your listeners to join us. It's free to join at womenforgunrights.org and just get plugged in.
It is hard for me to imagine that anybody would argue with that mission. Do you get pushback at all?
No, I think that people within our space don't realize the threat that, you know, a lot of people don't even know who Moms Demand Action is, and they don't understand how they've been effective in influencing not only our legislation, but influencing their friends, their families, and their communities. And, you know, we can, our side, I think, is really good at fighting at the legislative level, at the lobbying level, and doing good work there. But if you aren't doing the work at home, if you aren't doing the work within your own community, and they're building, they are doing that, they're building more people that think like them, they're going to send people up there that are going to vote like them. So,
yeah, and it's important to point out, Diana, that they claim that they have about 20 million members, which is a bunch of nonsense garbage, because they count little cyber likes and Twitter followers as members. They're not. If they were,
well, I can tell you that they show up. They have,
sure,
they show up in their red shirts, and they are very, very visually impactful. And it's intimidating to legislators and everybody, you know, wants their jobs. And it's important. I wish I would have sent this to you. I was just in Kansas, and they were doing a Pro 2A bill. And we knew that the red shirts were going to show up. And we had about five blue shirts on the front row, and there was a sea of red shirts behind us. But I have a split screen with the same hearing room and the same person speaking, and there's a sea all red, and then the second clip is of the same scene with us on the front row and then all red. So you can see what we're doing is we're trying to create that visual pushback. Mm-hmm. To their efforts, and it really does make a difference.
I'm curious, how do Republican legislators, because you've told us before, now let me phrase it this way, what kind of response do you get from the Democrats? Is it going in one ear and out the other? They meet with you maybe because they can say they did, but it doesn't really make a difference because we all see the way they vote.
Right. You know, I always take the meetings, and I always encourage our girls to take the meetings, because they cannot go to bed at night knowing that they didn't hear from us. I am not going to allow them, oh, it's not going to make a difference. I'm not going to allow somebody to tell me it doesn't make a difference for the people who already vote like you, because they need reinforced. So honestly, when we go federally, we want to see everybody. And even at the state level, at a local level, I would take a meeting with the janitor to let him see a woman that supports the Second Amendment.
That's a warrior definition right there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the flip side to that question is, how do the Republicans or conservatives or pro-gun legislators react to them? Are they as intimidated by them?
You know, they react to us like a dog that hasn't seen water for a very long time. You know, they are very happy and thankful that we're there, because they see how the Moms Demand moves and supports the anti-gun legislation. And to have a group that can counter that and then that they can stand beside is so impactful. And it's exact, you know, the women's voice is mission critical in these elections and saving the Second Amendment. So that's really, you know, I'm just trying to engage the women and the men. We'll have men in teal shirts tomorrow, big press conference in Colorado. I'm sure you've been talking about the Colorado anti-gun bills that are,
we're getting ready to go there in the next segment. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But now, a lot of these women, Diana, are very vocal. Okay. On the other side, the red shirts over there, orange shirts, whatever you want to call them. Are there ever any, just curious, ever any confrontations between you all when you meet them in these settings?
Well, not confrontations in that, you know, they're emotional and they're very high strung. And I'm very proud of what the interactions I've seen with the girls from Women for Gun Rights. You know, we try to have a conversation with them. But we don't match their energy. We don't match their emotional. So I feel like we do a really good job of either making them look like they're irrational or making them pause. And we've had people come up to us and they're like, we've never really thought of it that way. I really feel like if we had an audience with 100% of their membership, that we could walk away with half of them.
You know, that's interesting. We're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, I want to dig a little bit deeper into that, because I believe you're right. And the reason I believe you're right about that is because it's the emotional aspect. And therein lies the difference between conservatism and liberalism. One party thinks, the other one feels. And no one knows that more than you, because you're there with a group of people who are doing nothing but feeling, with leadership that is egging that on. It's not rational. When we come back, more with Diana Mueller. This is great stuff, ladies and gentlemen. One more segment, and then we'll talk about what she's doing and the press release we got, Colorado, and all that fun stuff. We'll be back right after this. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back indeed. Patriot Mobile, communications center on fire for you. Sig Sauer Mike, Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today. In front of this mic, it's the Carr Firearms Group Studios. X Insurance presents it all. Back to Diana Mueller, Women for Gun Rights. Diana, you're doing great work, but I have a kind of a follow-up question with you. We're talking about, you know, pushback and the emotional side of the argument, and the fact that you feel pretty comfortable. You feel pretty comfortable. You could drag some of them away, right? A pretty large percentage.
I think so. I think that we all want the same thing. We all want to be safe. Mm-hmm. And if you run into, you know, it's that's why I say the women's voice is so important, is because the anti-gunners, we'll say the anti-gunners, have done such a tremendous job of marketing against guns and gun owners, and they have demonized us and they have made us the boogeyman. When you put a woman in front of another woman or another family or somebody who thinks they're anti-gun, and we explain why we support the Second Amendment, whether that be for hunting and putting quality food in front of our families, or if we want to be able to protect our babies, it rings a different tone. And that's why we just keep our head down and we keep trying to meet as many people as we possibly can, whether it be festivals, hearings, going to see our legislators, and trying to get audiences like yours, you know, plugged into their state, their local level of politics, and finding out who has the reins and what kind of gun Second Amendment legislation they're pushing.
What I find interesting, and my follow-up in that previous segment would be this, after hearing you now, and that is, because I've worked with a lot of your folks over the years, you know that. I've done local events in the state of Georgia, for example, when I was introducing the governor for the constitutional carry, when he was making that announcement, and your group was well represented, et cetera. But it was interesting because the anti-gunners were not there. But I want to applaud you for not taking the bait. I want to applaud your membership for not taking the bait. You know, the left is out there on social media doing their level best to try to get MAGA and the right to take the bait. And you guys don't do that. And that I commend you for that, because that's how you win the argument. That's how they lose the argument. That's why the Democrats are losing. And I will say left and equate it with anti-gunners, because they all seem to vote that direction. But, boy, I tell you, it'd be great if you could pull some of them over. I hope you're capable of reaching more of them at some of these meetings. I really, truly do. Something tells me they're not going to give you that opportunity, though, or at least make it easy for you. So let's move over to Colorado. A lot of crap going on in Colorado. We've touched on it from time to time as the bills pop up on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense and on this show in the past. But you have a press release out, Women for Gun Rights to host press conference at the Colorado State Capitol in opposition of gun control legislation. Tell us about this. What are you fighting, and why it's so darn important?
Well, they had, I don't remember the number, 14, 17 bills, anti-gun bills, that they're trying to push through. And on Tuesday, they're having a big hearing for an assault weapons ban. And they call it an assault weapons ban, but really it's going to ban pretty much every semi-automatic there is. So even your carry guns, stuff like this. And I don't know, I don't know. Rocky Mountain Gun Owners is going to have a rally on Tuesday morning before the hearing starts, and I hope a bunch of people show up to that. But we are trying to do – well, we are doing a press conference tomorrow, Monday, at noon at the state capitol in the old Supreme Court building. And I, if there's anybody from Colorado listening, we need you to show up, put on a teal shirt, and create that same visual that Moms Demand does with their sea of red shirts swarming a press conference. So we're just going to have go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish, please.
We're going to have about 5 to 7 speakers, and we're being hosted by two members on the House side, and it'll be short and sweet. We've got some signage. We're going to take a picture out in front of the Capitol with some handmade signs, and just try to do what the left does so well, and that's being visible and making their voices heard.
Yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is warrior activism at its best. This is the definition of it. And I want to point out, and I know you know this, but the left does do it very well. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But they can draw hundreds of thousands of people in support of taking our guns. And we seem to have a difficult time. I remember speaking at the first annual Second Amendment rally in D.C. many, many years ago. And then broadcasted this show when it was in its infancy, and we didn't have 5,000 people compared to what? You know, 500,000 for a Moms Demand Action and March for Our Lives nonsense. They're good at it. Are you disappointed in turnout at these events from our side?
It's very easy to be disheartened. But, I mean, honestly, people have jobs. People, you know, like my state director, Barb Miller, she has to take off work. She uses her own personal vacation days to go to the Capitol and testify. And that's what is that's part of it. And the other part of it is maybe that, you know, nothing's going to happen. We've got the Constitution. We've got the Bruin decision. We've got the whatever the apathy, wherever the apathy comes from, is the disappointing thing, because it really would be nice for people to show up, encounter them visually like the other side does. But that's why it's so important, I think, for us to tell people who the enemy is and what they're doing and how they're operating. If you do not know your enemy, you are bound to lose. And I don't believe that our side is really paying attention to the enemy. I think that they sit back on their laurels and think that we are, that the Constitution is too mighty to dissolve. And when you see what's going on in our schools and the generations that are, coming up, we've got a problem.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And ladies and gentlemen, she just quoted Sun Tzu, who we're big fans of here. And that is, the general who knows the most about his enemy wins every battle and every war ever fought. And there's nothing truer than that statement.
Right.
It's very, very important. And, you know, I agree with you. I think we've talked about it on the show many times over the last 15 years. Some of that apathy comes right from that. Well, we have the Constitution. I can buy a gun tomorrow. No matter what gun control they pass, I'm still able to go down to Nick's gun shop and buy what I want. And we tend to forget the attack that it's under. So let's, again, tell people where they can go to get involved in this with the last minute that we have together today, Diana.
Yeah, we need people to show up at the Capitol in Colorado at the old Supreme Court room. I'm envisioning a beautiful room that we're going to have our press conference in. And you're going to hear speakers from a survivor to a mom to a hunter, and the negative impact that it's going to have on the Colorado economy. Things like that. And hopefully that we're going to get that message out to the people who are watching the 6 o'clock news the night before this big hearing. And because that's all they're going to be talking about on Tuesday. So we're trying to get in front of the eight ball a little bit.
Good for you. Congratulations for everything that you're doing over there. We're getting ready to end this hour. I really do appreciate you being here. And I know how busy you are. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you, this is warrior activism at its finest. Fighting on behalf of your gun rights. If you're in Colorado, make it out there. Visit womenforgunrights.com and support Diana Mueller and her organization across the country, and join them. It's easy to do. Visit the website. All of the information is there. We'll have Diana back on the program hopefully next week. We'll see how that rally went at that press conference. Diana Mueller, Women for Gun Rights, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it very much and everything that you do. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, buckle in. Time is flying right by. I hate when it gets cracking like this, because we never get enough time to talk about everything we want to. But we've got a roundtable coming up with the regular crew, classic roundtable, Brad, Neil, and Justin. Coming up 6 minutes after the hour. We'll see you on the flip side of this break. Don't go away.
You
fill your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.